Let me start by saying, those of you that are home worshiping online or on vacation on spring break, you may want to grab some elements that you could use for communion, because at the back end today, we will be taking communion in a way that I believe for many of you will be unlike anything you've ever experienced. So with that being said, let me ask you this question. How many of you have went by something maybe 1,000 times, 100 times, and not noticed it until somebody points it out, and then you can't miss seeing it? You know how that works? Like, if you have your eye on a certain car, you see a commercial, or you drive by a dealership and you see the car that you think you want, and you see the color that you haven't seen before, and you end up buying that car, and then you start driving that car, and you're like, what in the heck? How did everybody buy this car? I never saw that color before. I never saw that car and that color before, and it looks like everyone has that car. Now they're everywhere. You ever read something many, many times, but you miss seeing it? Whatever it is. Well, today on this Palm Sunday, 1 week before Easter, I'm going to share something with you that I had read hundreds and hundreds of times, but I missed it until just a short few weeks ago. If you would, take out your message outlines, or you can watch on the screen as we read through Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. God's word says this: Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." My question is, did you see it? Did you see it? Jesus prayed how many times in that passage? 3 times. And notice that he prayed the same thing 3 times. Verse 39, verse 42, verse 44. He prayed the same thing. Going a little further, verse 39, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Verse 42, he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for me to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." And then verse 44, so he left them and went away once more, and he prayed the third time, saying the same thing. And that same thing was, "God, may this cup, if there's any other way possible for me to accomplish your will, your purpose, without drinking from this cup. But if not, may your will be done." if it's possible, God. Because I know what's coming. If it's possible, God, could you take this cup from me? But did you see it? Do you see the question that I had never asked before and maybe you hadn't? I've read this passage hundreds and hundreds of times, but the question that I never once asked about this cup, may it pass from me, is this question. What was in the cup? What was in the cup? If there's any way possible, God, he prayed it three times in a short period of time. God, if there's any other way that I can do your will except drinking from this cup, may that happen. But if not, your will be done. What was in the cup? I had never asked that question before. What was in the cup that had Jesus' soul to the point of death? What was in the cup? What was in that cup where Jesus would beg the Father three times, if there's any other way, I'd rather not drink from that cup. Before we take communion today, I want to give you some thoughts about what was in that cup that overwhelmed the soul of Jesus to the point of death. Whatever was in that cup was so painful even to think about for Jesus that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he actually was so anxious, so upset that he literally sweated drops of blood. What was in the cup? There's five things I want to talk about today before we take communion that was in that cup. If you're taking notes, you can fill this in. When Jesus looked into the cup, he saw the sin of the entire world. The sin of the entire world was in that cup. The sin of every person that had been born up to that point. The sin of yours and mine that we hadn't even been born yet. Our parents weren't even created yet. Everything that mankind was gonna do wrong, Jesus saw in that cup. And he understood that he was gonna have to pay for all of those sin, because the sin didn't just come upon him, he became sin. He looked back at the beginning and saw Adam and Eve, I believe, all the way to the last sinner that's gonna live on earth. And there's not one sin that a single human being ever has committed that Jesus didn't see in that cup. He saw yours and mine. And here was the sinless Son of God. He was about to carry and take on his shoulders and pay for every single sin that would be committed by human beings in history. That was in that cup. Number two, Jesus saw physical pain of suffering in that cup. Jesus knew the physical pain that he was about to endure, and he saw that in that cup. I am sure in his mind he had thought about this many, many, many times. You know what it's like? Maybe if you've had, I've never had a surgery, so I can't speak to that. But maybe for you it's going to the dentist. Maybe you had a surgery. Maybe you have a procedure that's done that they really can't provide you anesthetic or whatever for. There's no way really to totally get rid of your pain. And you know it's coming, but you know it's necessary. But the anticipation of that pain, no matter how much you think about it, never takes place of the actual pain itself when it happens. There's no way of getting out of it. Jesus saw that in the cup. He knew what was coming. He knew all the physical pain that his body was going to be put through. He knew that the hour was getting closer when he was going to be beaten beyond recognition, not for something that he did, but because of all that we did. If there's any other way, Father, may I not have to drink from that cup. He knew the physical pain was coming. He knew the sin of the world was in that cup. We serve a God who understands what it's like to suffer. I believe without a doubt, none of us will suffer at the extent Jesus did. And he could have stopped it like that. There's some of you suffering today. You're suffering maybe because of what you're going through. You're suffering because of what a loved one's going through, and you can't do anything about it. You're suffering because of an addiction, because of an accident. And just because, listen, Jesus saw that. His own physical suffering that was going to come for nothing he did wrong, but for what we did wrong. Father, if there's any way, take this cup. But if there's no other way, may your will be done. He saw that in the cup. Number three, if you're taking notes, Jesus also saw in that cup his role as sacrifice. Jesus saw his role as sacrifice. If you look in the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement was not a pretty sight. If you ever want to do some research on all the sacrifices they used to have for the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament before Jesus became the ultimate blood sacrifice in the New Testament, it was an awful, awful, bloody sight at the tabernacle. They would bring these lambs in, white as snow lambs, without blemish. Without stain, they would bring them to the altar. And imagine these small little lambs, innocent little lambs, just doing what lambs do that day. Hey, we're going on a little field trip. Without stain, without blemish. But then they would stand helplessly as their throats would be cut and their blood would be pumped out with every heartbeat. The altar would just be overwhelmed with blood. The lamb would be numb at first, but then it would realize the pain as a sacrificial instrument. Those lambs would thrash about, and literally they would, as they thrash, would spray blood all over that altar. I know that's an awful image for some of us to see, even visually in our mind. But such was that day also at Calvary. Jesus knew that was coming, but the blood would not be from a lamb, but from the Lamb of God, from his own flesh and blood. Listen, you may have seen a rendition of what a body would look like that had went through what Jesus went through to be crucified on a cross. It's horrific. But it still doesn't come close to what it would have actually looked like when a body was beaten to that extent, whipped to that extent, flesh ripped away from the bone to that extent, hair and beard ripped from the flesh with someone's hands. A cat of nine tails that was a whip with nine leather straps that had bone and glass and sharp rocks attached to it. So every time it would be whipped, and he was whipped 40 times, 39 they said would kill a man, right? And every time that nine strands would wrap around and they would yank it back, it would just rip hunks of flesh out. Jesus knew that he would be beaten physically beyond recognition, and he saw that in the cup. Jesus also knew that he would be the final blood sacrifice. But God, if there's any other way, may this cup pass from me. Number four, Jesus looked way down in the cup and he saw separation from the Father in that cup. Jesus anticipated what was coming soon, and that is a historical moment. he would be rejected by his father. It would be the first time ever that the father and the son were not one. It would be the first time ever that God's own son would be rejected by the father, because the father can't look upon sin, and Jesus was not just going to take our sins, he was going to become sin in the next few days, and he knew that God would have to turn his back on him and that the father and the son would not be one. Can you imagine the feeling of abandonment for something that you didn't do? Jesus saw that in the cup. That's why he prayed the same thing three times. If there's any other way, he knew what was coming. He knew all the aspects. He knew all that was included in that cup. And he's just begging God, if there's any other way for me to do your will, to make it possible for sinful people to be reconciled to a perfect and holy God. If there's any other way, I'd prefer that way. But if not, let your will be done. He saw rejection and separation in that cup. This is not on your notes, but in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, it records that on the ninth hour, when Jesus cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why'd you turn your back? Why did you reject me?" He knew why. And for the first time ever, they were separated. The world went black. Jesus saw that in the cup. You may look at all that and say, wow, if Jesus really saw all that in that cup, if I knew all that was coming, and I could stop it, I would have stopped it. Why in the world did Jesus go through that? For you? For me? That's why he did it. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. And his son chose to go through and drink that cup. Not for his benefit, but for ours. He went through the rejection, the physical pain, the separation. He carried not only the sin on the world, he became the sin of the world, yours and mine. He didn't deserve it. And the only reason he was going to go through with it is because he saw your face and mine. Jesus looked deeper in that cup and beyond the sin and suffering and the sacrifice and the separation. He looked, and there was one more thing that turned that bitter cup into sweetness. Number five, he saw salvation for me and for you. He saw that there was no other way. Sin has to have a blood sacrifice. Blood has to be shed for sin to be forgiven, and no longer would lambs have to do it over and over and over. But he would become the once-for-all blood sacrifice that whosoever would trust in him, they would never need to be a bloodshed again. He understood that he was our only hope. And he decided that we were worth drinking from that cup, all that we just talked about. That's why he prayed the same thing three times. And there was no other way. And so he decided to do exactly that. And after he prayed the third time, he got up. His disciples fell asleep each time. You know what it's like to go through pain and the people that are supposed to be in your corner? You don't even feel like they're in your corner? Can you imagine? He knew what was coming, And his own disciples, those closest, those that should have got it, should have understood what his soul was going through, the pain that he was experiencing of what was to come. And he had tried to explain it, but they didn't get it. He just asked them, would you pray with me while I go pray? And they fell asleep. But he got up from praying. He dusted himself off. He released the disciples from the weariness of prayer, and he went down the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. And that whole journey of what was in the cup began to take place. Now that you've seen it, my prayer is that you and I will never, ever read this passage again without knowing what was somewhat was in that cup. I just knew it was a cup of suffering. Oh, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. But I never asked what was in the cup. But I got one more question before we take communion together. And it's a personal question. It's not anything anybody else here can answer. The only person that can answer this question is you. Whether you're online or whether you're in this room, the only person on this planet that can answer this next question is you. As the lights go down, I just want you to focus on that cup. Now that you know a lot of what was in that cup that Jesus saw, the personal question, and I know it's dark, you won't be able to maybe see it to fill it in, but you'll have chance. Ask yourself this personal question. What did I add to that cup? What did I add? An addiction. Words that I said to someone that I love that I can never take back. That thing you did that night that you thought no one else was aware of. The times that you talk about somebody behind their back and it's not for their betterment. The time that you physically hurt someone. That you physically hurt yourself. The time you cheated. The times you lied at someone else's expense. The times you lied to get ahead. The times you stole. The times you did some unthinkable things that you pray is never found out, but that you know. What'd you add to the cup? I'm just going to give you a few moments just between you and God. Ask him to reveal some of the things that you added to the cup. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you, which doesn't even seem to come close to being enough for what you did for us. The truth of the matter is, God, everything that we can think of that we've done that was not done perfectly, or whether it was intentional or unintentional, whether we don't think it was a big deal or it was a huge deal, whether it's something we've forgotten about or it's something we've never been able to get out of our minds, it was all in that cup. God, we are so, so sorry for what we did that you suffered to pay for. God, I pray that we never miss it again, that we never take communion the same way again, that we'll never be able to take that bread that represents your body, which was broken for us, and we'll never be able to drink from the cup ever again without understanding that that represents the blood that you shed because of my sins. If you're here today and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, can I tell you that he saw all of your sins in that cup as well, and he chose to drink from it. He chose to be abused so you wouldn't have to. He chose to be tortured. He chose to have his Father turn his back on him so that the Father wouldn't have to turn his back on you. God sees everything you've ever done, but he's not mad at you. He will not hold it against you. He's paid for it already. If you will turn to him as your only hope, put your faith in one who is willing to die for you, and who wouldn't want to turn their life over to a God that loves like that? Why would you take punishment and pain and be separated from God when you die, when you don't have to? He's made it possible that no one experiences that because he experienced that. If that's you today, whether you're in this room or you're online, if you will provide the sinner that you clearly are, the Savior has already paid in full what you deserve. And if you will turn from your sin in your heart and by faith turn to Jesus, he will come into your heart, adopt you into his family, save you, forgive you, forgive you. He will forgive you. That's all been paid for in Christ if you will receive him. It'll never be held against you again. That's the opportunity you have because Jesus drank from this cup. If that's you right where you're at, make this your prayer. Say, God, I am a sinner. I know that all so well. But today I repent. I recognize my way is the wrong way. And I turn to you. Because I need you. I need your forgiveness. I want your forgiveness. I need salvation, and I can't provide it. You're the only way to heaven, the Bible says. So today I trust you. I give my heart to you. I ask for you to forgive me. Adopt me into your family. Give me the gift of eternal life that is only can be provided because you drank from that cup that I should have drank from. And from this day forward, I want to live for you. I want to follow you. Use my time, my talent, and my treasures that you've blessed me with to point others to you. and we say thanks, which is not even close to being enough for what you did. But we praise you in the name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.